Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 732. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamito. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, you know, it was really easy to do last week's show because, hey, Cody Rhodes, free agent, made life really easy. This week, back to good old talking about wrestling, actually. On an upside, the WWE did have a pay-per-view, and, you know, weirdly enough, I did not see the first couple of matches. I jumped on when they started doing the women's, Elimination Chamber was first, correct? As far as chamber matches go.
Yes, correct.
So, did I miss anything not watching the beginning of the show?
You didn't notice? You never saw Roman Reigns on the show?
That matchup with Goldberg was such a foregone conclusion. As much as I love the big dog and the work that he is putting in currently, that was not on the matches that I need to see. So, yeah, didn't really think about it too much. And, oof, man, I'm looking at the time. 6 minutes. I mean, I'm sure that's unofficial, but that is not a lot of time to be in the ring.
No, it was fine for what it was. It was what it needed to be.
Didn't see that one. It doesn't seem like it was worth worrying about. I probably could have watched it. Oh, no, they don't put their pay-per-views on YouTube. So,
no, of course not.
Well, I was just thinking, I'm like, oh, I probably could. I want to say that the segments that they put up there are usually 3 minutes long. And they got about 10 minutes,
yeah,
or 10 seconds of commercials or whatever. I was just thinking, I'm like, man, that's like half the match. Roman Reigns retains because we don't need to see Bill Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar again. Yeah, we saw that one already. It was probably a couple of years ago, but
5 years ago.
Good God, was that 5 years ago now?
Yes, it is. 5 years ago now.
Oh my. Well, I mean, I guess I knew that they had pushed off essentially the Roman Reigns Goldberg match had been 2 years. So, I mean, I guess it would have been previous to that.
Yeah.
I guess five isn't maybe as outlandish as I thought at first. There was that. Then we get the first chamber match, where I jumped in during intros, so I didn't get into too late into this one at all. Rhea Ripley, Bianca Belair, Doudrop, Nikki Ash, Alexa Bliss, and Liv Morgan. I guess this is one of those things that it's a real side piece in this whole matchup. But Nikki Ash, oof. Do not check your email or your phone. That's just not a good spot to be in, I don't think. Even I like the revamped character and her kind of being mean with the whole situation. But a loss at the... A quick takedown at the Elimination Chamber and then a loss on Raw. Not a good spot to be in.
Yeah. No, it's not. things are not going well for Nikki Cross, and I hope she gets an opportunity to shed this gimmick they obviously don't believe in, but are still letting her keep doing, and let her do something else. But yeah, I do fear the future endeavoring.
Yeah, so there's that part. I guess it was not completely surprising to me that Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair were the last two in the matchup. They've done...
No, that did not surprise me at all.
They have done a pretty nice job here, I guess, on the other side of Nikki Ash there. I do feel like they're doing a half-decent job of rebuilding Rhea Ripley.
Yes, yeah. Rhea's definitely been the beneficiary of the split. She's definitely had her moments. She had her... She wasn't able to be in the Royal Rumble for a very long time. She beats Nikki Ash like a drum every time that they're in the same vicinity. And she did get to have some moments of spotlight during the Elimination Chamber.
Yeah, and even she had a nice run in the gauntlet match leading up to the chamber.
Yeah, that's gonna be interesting, because now twice now she has fallen victim to being really, really tired, and then out comes Bianca Belair. Yeah, I hope they're actually building a story there, because it would actually be a really good one.
Yeah, or even just use it as a... This is the point where I'm like, if they truly want to build another superstar, and I mean, I know that we're talking future tense here already, but if Bianca beats Becky Lynch at WrestleMania, and in my opinion, she should, then Rhea Ripley would be a good first feud. Of course, the problem with that is that Rhea Ripley is being rebuilt, and that's a terrible spot for her to be in, taking a big L again at the championship level, considering that she has not won a championship on the main roster yet. Well, an important championship.
Yes, but she did. She won the Raw Women's Championship last year at WrestleMania. She was champion for months.
Oh, was she?
Yeah.
Yikes. Should remember that.
Yeah, she had a very awkward, or I should say, to use a WWE popular WWE announcer speak, auspicious beginning to her main roster career, if you remember now.
No, I don't remember it now, but why was that? Because she lost to...
You don't remember? She lost to Charlotte, yeah. And then she lost to Charlotte again. She has still never gotten anything back from Charlotte in 2 years. Since that NXT title match at WrestleMania.
Oof, yeah, I didn't think the pandemic was that bad that I would have forgotten her championship reign. I guess I was just thinking that she only had the tag team, that she only had the women's tag team championships, which I don't.
She held the Raw Women's Championship, I believe from about April until July.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I mean, that is a decent enough run. I guess she didn't.
Well, they did. I don't think they really did much with that reign.
And I have.
Let's see.
Yeah, it's like, hold on. I have this stuff. I could actually pull it up.
Let's see. She on pay-per-view, she won a triple threat match over Charlotte and Asuka, of course, by pinning Asuka. She then had a disqualification loss to Charlotte Flair at Hell in a Cell, followed by losing the women's championship to Charlotte Flair at Money in the Bank. Then she failed to regain the women's championship at SummerSlam, and then that's when she started the tag team with Nikki Ash.
That was the impetus for the tag team. Now it's actually coming back to me. Oh, man. Yeah, well, I guess, like you said, like I don't think that was the best reign to be had.
No.
So she still needed some work on the main roster end of things, and they're finally putting that on. And I guess to get back to the point that I started to make right before that, Alexa Bliss and Bianca Belair, the last two in there, it wouldn't have been completely surprising to see Alexa Bliss win, because the WWE does love a good gut punch. But we did not get that. We got Bianca Belair, and she is going to be taking on Becky Lynch, who I'm sure is going to throw up a roadblock or two in between now and then. But we do have one of the matches set for WrestleMania here, I would think.
Yes, Bianca and Becky, the match is official. It's the match we've expected pretty much since SummerSlam, I would suppose. They actually, let it play out, finally won one. they stuck the landing and didn't veer in a different direction. We'll talk to
I think that might be the most.
There's the no veering.
Yeah, that might be the most shocking part.
No veering at all. There's no veering. Back to the women's championship situation. Becky and Bianca, everyone knows their story. That, it's a pretty easy story to tell, though they have to stretch out their interactions with each other over the course of five weeks remaining. But, they'll get it done. I don't foresee them doing anything to hurt people's anticipation of this match at the very least, once again, because it's such a simple story and, both are incredibly over, so I think that this will be all managed just fine.
It is mildly shocking that they've kind of stuck to this, and that was the one thing when Bianca and Becky had their little talk there on Raw this week. It was pretty fun. Like, I was happy for the back and forth, and I did really like that they actually did take Bianca to the back of the line and kind of have her beat some people in the meantime without making a big deal, without making too big of a deal about it. Because most of the time those former champions just went in the championships matches and they push too hard almost to do that. And it makes it almost inevitable to have to go in that direction. So this is kind of nice that they actually just had her beat, Doudrop a few times and some other people along the way to reestablish. Not that she really needed to reestablish her credibility like Rhea Ripley did, but just to keep her and Becky apart, aside, I would imagine that they cross paths at some junctures, but not too many, honestly, between SummerSlam and now. I think there is some direct stuff after SummerSlam. Because did they have a rematch, I want to say?
Yeah, they had, they actually had multiple. They had the match in Columbus that Sasha Banks interfered in. Then they went to Saudi Arabia, Crown Jewel, and had a triple threat where Sasha took the pin. Then there was a Becky versus Bianca one-on-one match on Raw that Becky won by putting her feet on the roof. Yes, I just reset that fully from memory.
It is impressive. So they had those interactions directly after, but they have a bad habit of having tag team matches, especially in the women's division, which is not as filled out as the men, where I feel like the women interact too often sometimes. And this was a nice change of pace where they didn't really have her doing that. It's like you said, it's a simple build, and they got off to a good start. 5 weeks isn't too much time to fill, but the story is so simple that it's going to be interesting to see how they add to it to stretch it out for the 5 weeks.
Yeah. And there's always the danger of them overplaying their hand or peaking too early and whatnot. But I said, this seems too simple to screw up, but we'll see. But I don't think anything's going to keep me from feeling a high anticipation for this match.
That should be a good match, and hopefully, like I already said, the WWE does the right thing, and Becky definitely has had that title for a long time. She could take an L and survive, I think, here in the near future. Yeah. And this is the part of the WWE card of Elimination Chamber that it started to dawn on me how many women's matches they had for this event for Elimination Chamber. Because we got Ronda Rousey and Naomi taking on Charlotte Flair and Sonya Deville up next.
Yes, we did. Three women's matches, 12 women in all, brought on the trip. Impressive. I don't want to call it any kind of revolutionary or progressive because, I know the cynical PR reasons for all of it.
Right.
But still, a nice showcase for the women, for the women there. Tag team match made a match where Ronda Rousey would have to be one hand tied behind her back due to an offhand comment she made during a digital exclusive. So it didn't even really air on the main show.
Oh.
So a lot of people were absolutely confused as to the reason for this.
I feel like they mentioned it on TV that...
They did the contract signing on SmackDown, but I will be brutally honest. I just decided that, if I'm going to be watching wrestling all day, all afternoon Saturday, I can skip a SmackDown, especially a tape where the spoilers were all over the place.
Oh yeah, I don't blame you. that one felt like the good old days when I was in college and you knew that they were taping a week in advance or whatever it was exactly. And that's one where I'm like, man, I would have flubbed up the days left and right in that situation. We only got it's only 14 hours until we're in Saudi Arabia, and I'm like, pretty sure the flight takes longer than 14 hours, guys.
That was pretty funny. And of course, Pat McAfee missing two shows in a row because they'd already taped it earlier when McAfee wasn't there. So back to the tag match. Once again, action was fine in this one. They built around Ronda having one arm tied behind her back, sold some, got out of the ring. Naomi didn't get the hot tag, but still was cut off again. Ronda gets back in, and as everyone could have expected, she gets left alone with Sonya. She takes care of Sonya, even one-handed, and makes her tap, while Charlotte doesn't really do anything and just walks away, showing a bit of fear. Accomplished what they needed to accomplish, for sure.
Yeah. This was another one that the WWE, for a change, did not overthink things and just went the simple route here. And it worked. Wasn't anything crazy. I'm not going to be talking to my grandchildren about that match or anything. But it was fun. I was kind of hopeful. The whole one arm thing, I never forget Ken Shamrock wrestling in a straitjacket against Jeff Jarrett. And
I do remember that as well, yes.
Ronda was kind of a similar way. She did a nice job of working around having the one arm tied behind her back. It was maybe not quite as impressive to me as what Shamrock did, but that's some nice work. Like, it's got to be weird doing something like that where you're used to doing it with obviously two hands, and having to just have the one, I'm sure, is a little strange. And she didn't really look off in the ring, so kudos to her on that. We did get a break from the ladies to see some Drew McIntyre taking on Madcap Moss with Happy Corbin. You know, this wasn't as bad as I was expecting it to be, I suppose. My expectations were pretty low.
I mean, it was physical and damn near tragic, which I guess that sense of danger in some ways added to the match, even though they probably should have stopped it. Really? But no, they kept going, and it's, again, the match was pretty physical. They utilized, Corbin well in this. Showing the flaw in Drew McIntyre asking for this match, being no disqualification. So it turned into a handicap match, basically. But no. They got through it. Cat Moss lived. So, not much more to say about it than that. Now we've got 6 weeks of build to McIntyre versus Corbin. Yippee. 6 more weeks of this feud. Unless they decide to pull it about face and edit quickly and get Drew something else to do at WrestleMania, although I have no clue what that would be at this point with this roster as it stands.
Yeah. I mean, we've kind of talked about how SmackDown got shafted in the draft, and I couldn't tell you offhand who he should take on the SmackDown side of things to be entertaining. Like, it was just... It was funny that I saw a headline, something about Cody Rhodes to have big role at WrestleMania 38. And I'm like, that's the only thing that I could possibly think of that...
I'm thinking Cody's getting Seth eventually.
We'll cover
that a little bit later, I guess. But yeah.
Okay. I definitely was not dead set on that idea. I was just trying to come up with a name, and that was the only one, honestly, that stood out to me. Next match up in Elimination Chamber: Becky Lynch versus Lita. Third ladies match of the evening. Did Lita actually get better at wrestling in the meantime?
I don't know if I would necessarily say that. I mean, the match was fine. It had its messy spots, but it still didn't take away from it. They really pulled it together for a strong finish.
Yeah.
Lita hit the perfect picture perfect moonsault. Becky hit a not so perfect picture moonsault. well, Becky missed an not-so-perfect looking moonsault. Oh. But in the end, still, Becky got the win with the manhandle slam. Lita got a great reaction from the crowd after the match. I know there's some people who think that maybe she should come back for something, or she should do something at WrestleMania. I think that this was a fine note to and any future in-ring appearances from Lita on, personally.
Yeah, I'd be okay with the occasional pop-in for the Royal Rumble. I think that their women's division is going to be not quite 30 strong, especially if they're not going to use NXT talents moving forward. So I could see something like that. But yeah, Lita was not the best wrestler when she was a wrestler, quite honestly. Obviously she had a lot of popularity, but I don't think she was quality in-ring work most of the time. And yeah, I don't really want to see a run from her at all, honestly. Like, it was a nice match to have. I don't need to, you know, see everyone take on Becky and Charlotte and possibly Sasha, I suppose, would be another one for some of these ladies coming back from retirement or whatever exactly they're calling their hiatus from wrestling. So good match, solid match, like you said. It was, I was a little bit surprised. I don't know if I had watched, I watched the last Saudi Arabia show, but I'm not sure how much I listened to it. They had pretty solid crowd reactions all night for everyone, I thought.
Oh, yeah, and Crown Jewel was actually more. It was pretty incredible. They have cultivated an audience here. I mean, from between continuing to do these shows, well, going back to doing these shows, and you know, whatever their television situation is in the country, no, they seem to have some very knowledgeable, passionate fans. So that does make these shows incredibly more enjoyable.
Yes, the whole first two or three of the shows with the super cards or whatever you exactly want to call those with all the old timers coming back, they were a little rough. These last two events have been a lot better that have, you know, basically just gone into WWE canon, for lack of a better term. I did think that was something that I was just, and I think I did notice it when Lita, I noticed it before, but I was pretty surprised at the level of reaction that Lita was getting. I'm like, dang, man, these fans are really, really into it. And I guess that's just kind of, I do feel like the WWE crowds have been getting better as far as enjoyment goes, at least compared to AEW's fans. It was an interesting little note there I thought was worth talking about. The men's elimination chamber ends up heading on last here. Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar, Seth Rollins, Riddle, Austin Theory, and who's the other guy that your face is over? AJ Styles. Well, this match got weird in a hurry because it was Seth Rollins powerbombing Austin Theory into Bobby Lashley's cage, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And that was one where I'm like, man, Bobby Lashley is getting checked on a little too much here. And the doctor did not have gigantic biceps and gigantic quads and gigantic calves. So I'm like, is that an actual doctor out there? And when they had to help him out of the ring, I guess I wasn't surprised. Like, I ended up seeing the first replay, and I'm like, I wonder if he. I guess, are you buying real? Is there information out there that he actually has a real injury, or are they just selling this?
No, he's got a legitimate shoulder injury. It's gonna put him out for 4 months. So yeah, no. This was purely planned. It looked good, but no, I don't believe that there's any truth to a concussion.
Oh, okay. I guess I was not aware of the shoulder problems. I must have missed that news. But that does make a great deal of sense then, if to have him go out that way. That's nice. That is a fun way, and I do think he really did a great job of selling it then.
Oh yeah, they absolutely did. He did a great job. I mean, everything. Yeah, everyone did a great job on that one.
So, cheers to them. And I did think that it was pretty funny that what he was supposed to come out of the cage technically. What third it would have been then? Because two start in the ring, you got four in pods. So Bobby Lashley was supposed to come out third.
No, five.
Yeah, but two of them start
Five,
in the
because.
ring, so that means he would have
Oh,
Lashley would have been the
yeah.
third one to come out of a pod.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
And it killed me that Brock Lesnar. You could kind of see him talking to referee Jessica Carr, and when he ends up kicking through the door and just coming out instead of Bobby Lashley, I'm like, well, that's a choice. And yeah, Elimination Chamber, it definitely seems like things go sideways in that more times than not. I was a little bit surprised, honestly, that the women didn't have anything too strange happen. Those plexiglass pods really seem to be the main problem more times than not. Because I feel like Brock couldn't get out of the door, so he just decided to make his own door, even if technically he wasn't supposed to be in the match.
Right.
Did you enjoy that spot with Brock Lesnar taking out the other side of the plexiglass there?
Yeah, that was pretty neat. Yeah. Brock was an absolute beast during this match. At various moments, I feared for other wrestlers' lives. Yes.
Oh yeah, he really went on a rampage there, and honestly, it was kind of fun. Like, it's not something that you normally see, I feel like, in an Elimination Chamber match, or at least 9 times out of 10, if I would see this many pinfalls this quickly, I'd be pissed off for a match. It's just like, hey, this doesn't normally happen in a match. They've done
Yeah, no.
everything that they could, though, to build up Brock Lesnar to be the guy to do something like this.
Yeah, boy, he really needed that. That Brock Lesnar, they're never putting him over. They're never making him look strong. He really needed that.
Oh, yeah, I'm not saying that he needed it, but it is kind of nice that
Yeah.
occasionally you're like, oh, they're not completely dumb. They know how to keep some people over. Unfortunately for them, it's only like maybe a handful of people, which is a little bit of a problem. And yeah, I did kind of laugh since he beat or he pinned Seth Rollins first. I'm like, well, there goes that option. And after he pinned him, I'm like, oh, yep, this is Brock Lesnar's match to lose.
Yeah, there was no... I guess maybe you had some fear in your heart if some Roman in the bloodline got in the chamber and left Austin Theory to pin an unconscious Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
But...
I forgot about that. By the time I was watching the pay-per-view on my own for quite a bit, but the wife joined in on the tail end of the pay-per-view, and we were both sitting there when Brock and Austin Theory were on top of the pod. I'm just sitting there going, don't kill Austin Theory. Like, I know that you're not the biggest fan, but I really didn't want to witness a murder on pay-per-view in a foreign country.
No. That wouldn't have been good.
And, you know, the spot honestly looked almost a little too harmless, yet 100% safe at the end of the day there. Austin Theory got to grab the cage and essentially landed on his feet on the way down before actually falling down for the F5. We got a little bit concerned for his well-being at that time. Because, Brock can go a little off scripts from time to time, and it gets concerning. We end up with Brock Lesnar as the champion, and this is another match that seems to be set in stone now here. Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
Well, certainly the Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns part is absolutely set in stone, I would say. The part about it being title for title, they have thrown the roadblock in there with the mentions of Madison Square Garden and Brock having to make a title defense against what will likely not be Bobby Lashley, which is an interesting way to promote a house show in a way that they don't usually do, unless it is going to be made a Peacock special, which I probably a good chance of that, but they certainly didn't make a point of making that official last night.
Oh, yeah, that would be kind of interesting if they did that. If they did a pay-per-view like show for that. And it does kind of crack me up that Madison Square Garden is, I'm not going to say the only place to get special events for house shows, but it is a place that there is a good possibility that a title change can happen. Because was it an Intercontinental Championship or something that changed hands recently? Or somewhat recently? At a MSG show?
Oh, that probably would have been several years ago. But yes, they've had how... They've made a point of making house shows more important by doing title changes, yes.
So there is the possibility that... Because I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, were they committing to a unification match with this champion versus champion? I feel like they kind of were hedging their bets. Maybe that's not the right term to use. That they weren't fully committing to it being a title for title situation.
Title for title, because they pushed it so hard. But man, did Paul Heyman make it sound like Roman Reigns doesn't even want the WWE Championship.
Oh.
They're determined for this not to be title versus title. That's hilarious.
Yeah. I mean, You don't really want to be on Raw. Even though Raw is the better show, you still don't really want to be on Raw. Because you're not on network TV. And honestly, they're actually writing well for Roman Reigns. So why, at least still on SmackDown. So why would you want to move brands? And I don't know. To me, it's getting tough to care about the double championship situation.
No, they do this all that they've done this all the time now. They've overdone in the women's situation. I mean, having a singles belt and a tag belt at the same time, like they did with Sasha and Bayley, that was a little different. And for the most part, they made that work.
Yeah, because the Becky two belts thing.
When it was two singles, they couldn't end that fast enough. I mean, the first time they did the deal where she had to defend the title twice in one night, they took one of them off of her. So yeah, no, it's all for the visual at the end, and then they'll figure out a way to set things back as quickly as possible. Maybe they'll try to run with it. I know Brock is advertised for the WrestleMania Backlash in early May. So it's not like Brock is guaranteed to take another 2 months off after WrestleMania like he usually does. Brock is definitely appearing fairly regularly during this run and is being incredibly enjoyable while doing it. So, but I also don't know if I necessarily see him doing the two matches in one night gimmick. There's a lot to this. Brock has lost two matches in this run. So far.
Yeah.
So, but he has won, but he's also won four, including the Royal Rumble, so it does balance itself out in the end for him to take the loss at the end. It'll be interesting to see what they can do coming out of this. Because we all realize what they've done. They've taken these two men and placed them up so high above everyone else.
Oh,
there is essentially no second tier in WWE right now at this point. And coming out of this match, they've built everything up to this, and coming out of it, I don't know what they got or what they can do. I mean, they're gonna have to, for the first time in what it feels like a long time, come out of WrestleMania with momentum that carries them through the rest of the year, as opposed to WrestleMania feeling like the end of something and then a downturn with a blip of, renewed interest in the summer heading into SummerSlam. Now, granted, heading into the summer, they're doing two stadiums in July. So they got to keep that momentum rolling pretty good. They really can't allow the spring doldrums to take effect. They got to have a hot summer.
Yeah, the post WrestleMania slowdown. Now, I do believe one of the outdoor venues is SummerSlam, if I'm not mistaken.
SummerSlam is outdoors in Nashville. Money in the Bank is indoors in Las Vegas, which I will be attending. As of this moment, I am attending. Yeah, I will be attending live, depending on if any major life changes change my plans or not. But as of right now, that is the plan.
Nice. I think you're right. Like, I feel like last year we're like, where are the WrestleMania matches? And this year, I feel like we have, the three matches essentially set already? I mean, I know that it's usually these main event style matches that are booked first. But you don't always get the result. You don't always see it coming this early, I suppose. Where they kind of tease it out a little bit more before announcing the match. even if you kind of know that it's going to happen, they tease it out, but they have really booked, yeah, three matches already. Both the women's championships and Brock versus Roman, which, you know, takes out both of, well, at least for the time being, both of the champions.
Yeah, no, it's all because one match is going to be title for title, and then the two women's championships are decided upon. Yeah, no, they have essentially the top three matches, unless something really big drops, or the really big thing we talked about last week involving Stone Cold Steve Austin, then obviously that becomes a very, very top level match for WrestleMania. They've got, you know, amazing what can happen when you don't have to force Fastlane down people's throats.
Well,
I am glad that Peacock has allowed them to take entire calendar months off from doing big shows. That is, during months they are absolutely not needed. March is not needed. there's not a need for a March pay-per-view. Or live premium event, excuse me. December, you know, no one's asking for a December event either. So let's take those 2 months off. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, and because they were, I want to say that it was in the Becky and Bianca Belair segment where they mentioned what, 5 weeks to WrestleMania. Specifically?
Shit. Five from this coming Saturday. It would be closer to six on Monday.
On Monday.
WWE likes to do their math, you know, forward math. I guess future math, I guess you would call it.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I mean, that's still a good amount of time to set up a match. You know, that extra pay-per-view always seemed to throw the rhythm off. I'm with you here.
It did for years. Yeah, no, it's. I'm glad we're done with that. There was hardly ever a good fast lane. You know, not a lot of fast lane moments people remember.
What?
And it did throw off. Last year, it ruined everything. Last year, and waiting till so late in March to do Fastlane, that ruined everything last year.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it 3 weeks until WrestleMania, or was it two?
Yeah, 3 weeks. 3 weeks. It was 3 weeks.
Oof, that's still a rough stint, especially since they kind of closed out some storylines at Fastlane and moved on to new ones for WrestleMania.
Right.
So, I guess it'll be interesting. You kind of brought it up a little bit earlier about Seth Rollins. And the next thing here on Raw that we haven't really talked about, Alpha Academy takes on Chad Gable and Otis versus the Street Profits. But right before that, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens started plotting to find themselves in the tag team division. Even though last week we talked about Kevin Owens possibly taking on Steve Austin, and you had some theory about Seth Rollins here. It does seem like they're earmarked for some type of a tag team match. Do you think it's going to end before WrestleMania?
Well, yeah, the tag match is in 2 weeks. I said that.
I guess I was wondering, when you have someone like Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens going after him after the tag team championships, you typically have them win it at some juncture. Do you think that is going to get passed over for reasons?
I think that's going to get passed over for reasons. Now, I don't particularly like this. I mean, if you're feeling like, you know, Kevin Owens' anti-Texas stuff is really going in the direction that's being speculated on, and you know, if Seth is earmarked for Cody, which no one's actually said anything about that, that's purely speculation, but I don't necessarily... It feels like nothing important can happen next week on Raw. It feels like everything's holding out for the show in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Which I was actually complimenting them for, you know, okay, we actually have a bit of a feeling of, for the first time maybe in a long time, of anything can happen on this show, and anyone can show up, and, now, I understand, holding Cody off, and they definitely shouldn't have Stone Cold Steve Austin show up yet.
Oh.
You know, that Owens needs a couple more weeks of going heavy on Texas. I actually thought that they were actually... that they scaled it back a little bit, actually. He only made one little remark. I don't know. No, I think they should be going a lot harder.
Oh. Like,
they should have been filming vignettes with Kevin Owens touring Texas, making fun of it, and wearing a silly hat, and everything. You know, for him to just to now focus himself on this tag team thing and just not have all the focus beyond that, I think that's a mistake. So yeah, I don't get this whole have forcing Owens and Rollins to do this tag team thing, wait 2 weeks to have the match. Yeah, I'm not a fan of it. I guess I'm definitely not a fan of it. Unless they are going to be in a tag match, which, I don't know if you're following any of the internet speculation, that'll be a letdown.
The tag team match with Alpha Academy, or just in general, if there is Seth and Owens?
In general, if Rollins and Owens went into WrestleMania as tag team champions and just fought, you know, whatever... you know, tag team, they, you know, Street Profits or, you know, RK-Bro or what have you.
Yeah, it would be too weird to do Cody Rhodes and Steve Austin tag team against Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins. Like, that feels off to me, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's big enough name-wise.
Yeah. They would mix. Yeah, Austin and Cody would mix. Cody never actually lived in Texas, I don't believe. You know, was born and raised in Georgia when his dad settled there. His dad was from Georgia, from Texas.
Oh,
his brother was born in Texas, but he wasn't, I don't believe.
Yeah, man, I mean, he lives in Georgia still, so it would be a little bit of a strange situation to force him into a Texas brand character to start things off.
Yeah, yeah. So I wouldn't see that. But yeah, I don't know. I guess they have maybe something bit. Because hyping up a tag match 2 weeks in advance, is a tag title match 2 weeks, is also kind of weird. There's no real reason to do that other than we want to put the spotlight on something big's going to happen.
Yep, well, yeah, well, is that going to take place on Raw, that tag team match?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it'll be interesting. The undercard does, for WrestleMania, does tend to percolate a little bit longer. Even if there's celebrity matches, which takes my brain in a different direction, but I will hold off on that for the time being. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. The Street Profits are out of luck for anything big at WrestleMania this year. Montez Ford is going to have to settle for watching his wife wrestle in probably one of the main events. I don't know. Would it be... I guess Ronda and Charlotte would go on after Becky and Bianca? I don't. What do you think?
Well, I think Becky and Bianca would be on night two, and Charlotte and Ronda is going to close night one.
You don't think Brock and Reigns is going to close the show? One of the two shows.
Brock and Reigns is going to close night two. Brock and Reigns is going to close night two. Why wouldn't it?
Oh, I thought you just said that the women's matches would close both nights. I misheard you.
No, I didn't.
Oh.
I did not say that. I never said anything about Becky and Bianca closing.
Okay, they'll just be on night
two.
You're
hearing things
okay. Now. Need to get that wax out of the ears. Fair enough. I guess Finn Balor showed back up.
Yeah, he did.
Do you think Ciampa is going to be on the main roster full time in a tag team with him, or do you think this was just to extend the Ciampa Dolph Ziggler match that probably already finished up on NXT 2.0?
Yeah, definitely would have already finished up. I think this is just a one time thing. They've already moved Finn Balor on to challenging Damian Priest for the U.S. title at on Monday Night Raw. I just should have made the match for WrestleMania, but I guess.
Damian Priest, unless they have something else in mind, he's not going to get a bigger opponent than Finn, at least name wise, than Finn Balor. I wouldn't think for WrestleMania.
Yeah, no, I don't think he will. But once again, over the course of two nights, 7 or 8 matches each night, I'm pretty sure he'll get a match on the show.
Oh yeah, not worried about that part.
We'll see if they do something to extend the Finn Balor stuff or put him against, you know, someone else. You know, it's fine, and you know, having Balor team with Ciampa, NXT history, you know, it was all well and good. You know, they're trying to do stuff to get those NXT numbers up and mingle the main roster people and in NXT, particularly Raw people, because obviously the network synergy part. I doubt we'll see many NXT people going to SmackDown and vice versa.
Yeah, that does seem to be the theme. Because who was AJ Styles was the other guy to pop over there.
Yeah.
Anything to be said for Miz and the Mysterios feud?
No, I mean they're getting their match at WrestleMania. Logan Paul, the partner of the Miz, it was destined for Logan Paul to not just appear in WWE but to have a match, and then. You know, Rey Mysterio's going to be on the cover of the video game, so you figure that, yeah, he was going to have something, at least something of a prominent spot at WrestleMania. Miz always seems to find himself in these kind of matches at WrestleMania.
Oh.
Some type of an attraction. I mean, not necessarily always a celebrity, but, you know.
Yeah.
Miz finds his way back into being some type of an attraction match at WrestleMania. It's fine. I mean, of course, I had to make the joke that considering how much Dominic has regressed, Logan Paul won't even be the worst wrestler in the match.
that was a good one. I guess it's kind of interesting to me. I'm like, man, does this really help your brand that much, Logan Paul? Like, I'm not into the Logan Paul thing, but he keeps on coming back to it. That guy really seems to be able to stir up the pot and definitely get some people pissed off.
He definitely is good at that. There was that one time they had him show up on Raw and expect him to get a baby face reaction. I have no idea what the hell they were thinking there, but they immediately changed course on that one. He's definitely a heel's heel. Perfect to team with the Miz. This is fine. It's an underneath match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I, I was just sitting there right before The Miz introduced his partner, and after he used the word dashing, I'm like, who is this? Who's this guy going to be? And then Logan Paul came out, and I'm like, oh, okay. I don't know who I was expecting, honestly.
Well, dashing is a reference to Cody Rhodes, obviously.
Well, yeah. I guess, yeah, I expected someone not Logan Paul. But, yeah, that's the match that we're going to get. And it's going to be a match. Got that covered. Oh man, yeah. I guess main event is about the only thing. We've talked about it enough. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens officially punched their ticket to the tag team match for a triple threat match with Alpha Academy, RK-Bro, and is Seth and Kevin. Anything else from Raw that we haven't touched on? I feel like we gotten the most of it.
Trying to think if there's anything from Raw we need to dissect some more. I don't particularly think so.
Yeah, because we got the Nikki A.S.H. A lot of the stuff in Hour 3, it seems, we kind of talked about during the pay-per-view review. I guess one thing worth mentioning for sure before going out the door, Mr. Meltzer is reporting that AJ Styles has signed another new contract between 3 and 5 years for the WWE.
Oh. Absolutely, and there's something, I guess, else that could be related to this that we could talk about. Edge's open challenge. He definitely put an emphasis on the word phenomenal.
You know what? I did not notice that during the pay-per-view, and that is a fun one to speculate on. I was trying to figure out who Edge wanted to challenge. It is one of those situations we have talked about it quite a bit, where you were expecting... Or at least, personally, I was expecting Edge to take on some of the newbies or some of the younger talents. Obviously, AJ Styles doesn't fit into the younger category. But he definitely fits into he was not in the WWE or even remotely close to the WWE system when Edge was wrestling the first go-round.
No, this would definitely be a first-time-ever match. I wish if it does prove to me the direction they're going in, I wish they hadn't have done the almost turn and then followed by this weird tweener phase AJ's been in, total baby face on NXT in the Grayson Waller feud. Because I'd like to see them have a more personal issue than let's just go out and have a good wrestling match on WrestleMania. May the best man win.
Yeah, that's, there's some people that you could work that angle with, I feel like. AJ Styles and Edge aren't those two people, in my opinion.
Now, once again, this could be a very, very good match. I mean, definitely one of the matches you would think about if you thought about, okay, who did Edge never wrestle before that he could wrestle on this run? AJ Styles is certainly near the top of that list.
I guess we brought up his name a few times here. Do you think that there is mixed messaging since Logan Paul got named Dashing? Edge uses the word phenomenal a couple of times. Any chance that it's Cody Rhodes versus Edge at WrestleMania?
It's possible. It's very possible. I mean, not a match we've never seen before, because once again, I'm sure that they had a match during the second hour of SmackDown at some point. In about 2010 or 2011.
I would almost be shocked if that didn't happen. I would be more shocked if it didn't happen.
Yes. But obviously Cody's a bigger star than he was then. So there can be some. I guess there's some ways you can make that match interesting. Not my number one pick for a match for either of them, but maybe not the worst, least appetizing sounding option.
Yeah, I do think that because they might have had a match back, or probably had a match back in 2010, you might be able to get a little more of that personal feud that you were talking about involved in it that wouldn't be involved with AJ Styles necessarily. Or, you know, they need to write it into the AJ Styles feud. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I was expecting someone to answer that challenge right off the bat. I was not expecting Edge to just walk out of the ring and that be it. But hey, it's something of an undercard match. Why not string it out and have the reveal later? We got 5 weeks, and like you said, there's a possibility because of the situation they're making out of it that they won't have enough storyline to go with. So, you know, only write it for a month instead of writing it for 5 or 6 weeks.
Well, yeah. Well, I guess next week you would have AJ accept. Or, yeah, I guess you could maybe have AJ make the challenge back to Edge, then have Edge not show up for another week or two. And yeah, it can be done that way.
Yeah. Anything to be said about Rampage for any AEW Rampage for whatever reason?
Nope, skip that show too.
Okie dokie. Well, that means Bell Time Beer. And I'm not sure that I drank this particular beer on the show yet. It is one that I snagged while in Michigan there for the Kent State game. It is Eastern Market Brewing Company Sweater Weather Stout, and it is pretty daggone tasty for just a straight up, well, this has got to be an Imperial Stout at 9.5%. It also has gingerbread and spice in it, so that means, I guess I was looking in my fridge and said, oh, we maybe have about another month of actual sweater weather left here in the in Columbus, Ohio. So I should probably drink this while the sweatering is still good. It is a very, very tasty stout, and it will probably hit me bright and early tomorrow morning because 9.5% is quite a hefty beer. Don't get a whole lot of the spices, but it is a super smooth Imperial Stout. And should you find yourself up in Detroit, I would suggest taking a visit to this brewery. I've had, I believe, 3 out of the 4 beers have been good to great. And the other one was just okay. So yeah, Sweater Weather Stout from Eastern Market Brewing is the hashtag Belltime Beer of the show. I am at DeFrango11, that is at Stunt Cali, the brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, download us at any fine purveyors of podcasts, whether it's iHeartRadio, Stitcher, Google, or Spotify. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.